Morning. It is truly an honor to be here. I let some more come in, and we have some sheets that we're needing to hand out. Let's see. Good morning. Miss Judy, I don't know what happened to Lynn. Where did she go? We have a sheet that's going out, and it's titled Entering the Closet, and the subject for this month, the next 4 weeks, will be Entering the Closet, and this study is on prayer. And so, let's get started with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you this morning. Father, we pray that as we go into this study, that we would decrease as you increase, Lord, in us, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that we will lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, Father, that you might even direct this very conversation, this very study, Father. This prayer we ask in thy Son Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. So it's Entering the Closet, and it was a study that I had started writing back in December, and it's basically an experience I had to walk through as I was in prayer. And as I was in prayer, I noticed that my prayer life changed back in October. And as I was going through this, you know, I normally had my traditional prayers I prayed, you know, a certain way and a certain time. And I noticed, and I would have different things. I have a list of things that I would pray about, and I'm not telling you to discard your list. However, I didn't realize the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray differently. And as I would go in my closet, I would have my ideal of what I desired to pray in regards to. But when I would get in my closet, I would say, Holy Spirit, lead me in prayer. And at times, he would have me go directly to the scripture. It's not that I wasn't praying the scripture, but it was different. And I found that when I was dealing with a situation, the Holy Spirit would literally lead me to that particular scripture. And I would hear the Holy Spirit say, read Psalms 23 or read Psalms 109 or read Psalms 41. For example, the other night I woke up at 3:00 in the morning, and sometimes I'm up between 3 and 6. And sometimes I pray and I go back to sleep, either I get up. And I didn't know a situation was going to arise that day. And the Holy Spirit said, I need you to read Psalms, I think it was 72. And I was like, okay. And so I was laying there, and I always keep my Bible in the bed with me. And I just woke up and I just started reading the scripture. Whatever was going to happen during the course of that day, the scripture was preparing me for it. But the beauty of it is, the Lord was already ahead of it. And he had prepared me for that day. So whatever the enemy had set up for that day, I love God. He had already beat him to the punch. And so as I proceeded to go throughout the course of the last 6 or 7 months, I'm finding my prayer life shifting and it's changing. And are you guys ready for this? It's less stressful. Amen. I thought, and I'm being very honest, I consider myself an intercessor, well, you know, and a prayer warrior, and I go in here and I pray and I battle and I get this thing done and I get it taken care of. But it was like the Lord was saying, well, when you decide to stop operating in your flesh, or when you decide to stop doing it your way, then I can show you a much easier way. So in December, I had to go somewhere and speak, December 4th, and he had me to write this lesson, and he had me to put it on paper. And I'm like, well, Lord, he said, no, I need you to put this down on paper, and I need you to give this to that congregation, because we're going to revamp prayer. It's not that we're doing anything incorrectly. However, the dynamics and what we do in that closet must change, according to what's going on in our times and season, is what's going to take place in this world. Do you stop praying? No, you do not stop praying. However, he's really, truly going to teach our hands to war. worn in the Word, in the Spirit, in your prayer closet. And so as I begin to, as I sit down and I start writing this study, it was entering the closet. And the anchoring verse is, the foundational verse is Matthew 6:6. And I had a handout. And if you notice, each time you guys will have a handout or some handouts. And it's titled, The Lesson Entering the Closet. And of course, you see at the bottom of you have assignments when you go home today. That's due next week. I'm a teacher, so not in the at a school system, but when I accepted my calling in March of 2013, I knew that he had called me to teach. So, and I have some of Miss Amanda back there to help out. But let's look at this. And so as the dynamics of my prayer life changed, and I sit there, and he said, I need you to share this with the body. And so as I sit there, and I guys, I didn't want to come here, and I'm being very transparent. I was like, I'm not going to do this. And in February, the Holy Spirit said, you need to let Pastor John know. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know, I don't have to do this. And I'm being honest. They know about prayer. They've been in church as long as I have. They know about prayer. And they, you know, these are some praying individuals. But he said the dynamics must change. It's not that we're doing it wrong, but he really, really needs us to be led by the Spirit of God in our prayer time. And he's really wanting, desiring for us to pray nothing but the Word now. It's not that we hadn't been praying the Word, but when he say pray the Word, he's really ready to get down to the bones of it now. And so as those that just come in, I was telling how when I would go in my prayer closet and the Holy Spirit would lead me how to pray straight out of the scriptures. And so as I prayed straight out of the scriptures, the Holy Spirit brought back to my mind a message that Pastor Terry had preached in regards to Jeremiah. And when he told Jeremiah to speak to the bones, you guys remember that message? He told Jeremiah to speak to the bones. And that message, it laid on me for a month and a half. And I couldn't stop thinking about that word. And the thing that stood out was, he told Jeremiah, he said, speak to these bones, and I need you to say to these bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. He didn't say, hear ye the word of Sonia. He didn't say, hear ye the words of Faye. He didn't say, hear ye the words of certain individuals. He said, speak to the bones. The bones represent the situation. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord. That became my tactic. Whatever the situation is, from that point on, I would go and get the word of God as the Holy Spirit led me. And whatever the situation is, I say, situation, hear ye the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. So therefore, you must line up with what the word of the Lord is saying. As I entered that closet, as I went into that space, my mindset, there had to be a reset in my mind in regards to prayer. Because the old format that I had allowed myself to become accustomed to is not that it was non-effective. However, the Holy Spirit and the Lord was saying, I need you to go to another level in prayer. I need you to arise now. Because as he is calling forth Isaiah 60 and 61 to the body of Christ, he's telling us to arise. Guess what? We cannot arise in that old mindset of prayer. We must arise in a new mindset. And the only way we have that new mindset in prayer is by being led by the Spirit of God and using his word. So that's the purpose of entering the closet. And he gave me Matthew 6:6, and it says, if you look on your sheet of paper, the handout, and I wrote the King James Version down. Did everyone receive a handout? If you didn't receive one, Miss Lynn, could you make sure everyone? Okay, who was it? You. Now go ahead and read because of for time's sakes. He said, but thou, if you raise your hand, she'll make sure you receive one. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's time for the body of Christ to hit the closet. It's not that we hadn't been praying, but it's a different level of prayer. There's an intensity in this prayer, but with less labor. I believe in travailing. I've experienced travailing. I've experienced it a lot. I experienced weeping in prayer. And it's not that he's saying that he's going to stop that. However, he's saying we must be more effective and efficient. Efficiency in our prayer. And so instead of me going in, and I can pray a prayer, a general prayer, in regards to whatever the topic is, well, Father, you said this, this, that, and Father God, this, this, and that. But what he is saying, I need you to use the word and speak to the situation. See, and lately, if we go back in our minds, we've been speaking about the situation. Think about your prayer life. Just think about it for a minute. Do we speak about the situation? We speak around the situation? Father God, this is going on right here, so I ask you that you heal my body. I ask that there be recovery. I pray that my so-and-so soul would be saved. And that's what we do. We speak around it. We speak about it. But now he's looking for us to be like Jeremiah. He desires for us to speak to it using his word. And so that's the purpose of this lesson, is teaching us how to speak to it. Hear ye the word of the Lord. For example, I had a problem with my ankle because I had broke it skating, and then I end up with plantar fasciitis playing tennis. I think I'm young, you know how that is. Anyway, I couldn't move it, but I had to look at this ankle and speak to this ankle and say, ankle of Sonya Nicole Twitty, hear ye the word of the Lord. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So that means you have to line up with what the word of the Lord is saying. And I kept speaking to it. I'm getting better. It's getting better. It has to come in line. If you think about it, in Jeremiah, it took some time for those bones to assemble. Then it took some time for the veins and your sinew to build upon these bones. So he's saying, speak. Speak to the situation now. Don't pray around it. Don't pray about it. He is now saying, speak. Speak to that situation. Talk to it. Tell that situation what the word of the Lord is saying. That's what he's desiring. And a lot of times, we'll go in with our own preconceived mindset. You know how we say, when I get in my prayer closet, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray about this and I'm going to talk about this. And I mean, the amount of time that we meditate on what we're going to talk about, we could have been prayed about and went on. Let's be honest with ourselves. So what he's saying is, now I want you to, I see your heart, but I need you to use my word when you enter that closet. And the reason I use the King James Version, because it's the version that has the word closet in it. And closet, when I looked it up in Hebrew, let's look at this Hebrew word. And I get these to you guys in some notes. Excuse me, not Hebrew. In Greek, it means a dispenser or a distribution. And the Greek word, if you want to look it up, is G5009. If you want to look it up later. And it means a dispenser or a distributor. And the thing that stuck out about it is when we go into our closet, it was like, pow. It was like, okay, I can deal with this. I can work with this. But what it means is when I go into my closet, how many of you guys have closets at home? I have a closet where I have all my seasonal stuff. And I know when Christmas come, I need to go and pull out all the lights. I need to go and pull out the ornaments and all the decoration for the house. It's stored there. So when he tells us to go into our closet, I want you to catch this and close the door, because there is something in that closet for us. There is something in there for you. But he said, in order to receive it, Miss Judy, you have to go in and you have to close the door. And you have to go in and you have to fellowship with him to get what he is dispensing. To get what he is dispensing. Distributor or dispenser. But this is the catch. The only way we can get what he has for us in that closet, if we go in the closet and shut the door. The door must be closed. Because why? He said, what he do, what he's rewarding, you're going in secret and we're talking to him, but he's going to reward us openly. How many of you guys ever went in secret and just talked to God in regards to some issue without sharing it with anyone else? And it worked out. He said, we're in the season now. He's ready to work some things out. But it can't be shouted from the rooftops. It must be taken care of in the closet with the door closed. Because when we're in the closet, not only do God bless us with what we need, but he also deals with us. He deals with us. Yes, sir.
Another one of the important things about closing the door.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Distractions. It keeps out the distractions.
Yes.
And, you know, there are all kinds of distractions.
Yes.
Even good things
can
be distractions.
Exactly.
That's why it's important to close the door.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that. And that is, it's distractions. We get distracted. How many of you guys have been in prayer and your phone ring? My big is I can be in prayer and a relative will stop by the house. And I must confess, my dog was barking to let me know that someone was there, and I just sit in the den like I didn't hear a thing. Because it gets to that point, he desires our undivided attention. And I had to get to the point where I would text my children and say, hey, I'm doing this right here. I'll be able to talk to you in 2 hours. And leave my phone in another room. Because I realized what God has to say unto me is more important than what someone who is reaching out to me at that moment. Yes, Jeff. Yes, but I mean, you know, that's the importance of it. This is my moment with God. And I think as with children, our children should be able to identify that. This mom and dad, they're in time with God. And we set an example. Like, you know, with 18 children, I couldn't imagine, especially back then, not having anywhere to go. I mean, in this day and time, if you have children, you're lucky if you're able to get in the restroom without someone knocking on the door. I mean, mine are grown and they're still mom, and I'm like, I'm using the restroom. But the thing of it is, finding that space in that time and being creative with it. Mm-hmm.
Also, your children need to see your devotion.
They need it. Yes. Exactly. They need to see it. I remember with my oldest one, Joshua had to be about two, because I hadn't started ICC yet. So he's about two. And every day at 12 o'clock, I would go in my room and pray. I had been saved for maybe 3 years. And I would go in my room and pray. And so one day, it was so funny, I was in my bedroom, and he knocked on the door. And I said, okay, something must be wrong. I opened the door, and he said, Mama, you talking to God? I said, well, yes. And he said, well, tell him I said hello. And it was, you know, that concept was there. At a, you know, and I'm thinking, is it that obvious? But at 2 and 3 years old, he realized he needed to have a conversation with God. He knew the importance of it. And our children, especially the men, the men. And when he said he went to his my mother and father-in-law's, he said, well, Mama, I was going to talk to Papa, but he was in the room on his knees praying. It's important. Prayer is very important. And it's very important that we exhibit it in front of our children. And it's even more important if we allow our children to participate and we teach them how to go into the closet, close the door, and commune with God. Some say, well, I don't have a closet. I've been fortunate enough how my children are grown, so I have a room set aside. But there was many times my children would come upstairs and they would see me in the den. They would see me at the kitchen table. I would go in the restroom. That's the only place I could hide sometime, and I would be in there praying. So it's very imperative. No distractions, so we can hear what God is truly saying unto us. Many of us have books. Many of us have books. I'm a book person. I have totes of books. I've taken totes of books to Steps to Hope and Salvation Army and everywhere because I buy too many books. That's one of my faults. Just pray for me. I much needed prayer. Even if I don't need the book, I pick the book up. But a lot of books show us how to pray, and they give us guidelines and outlines and how to pray. And those are great. But in this season right here, I want you to think about really what's going on. Really think about what's going on in the world right now. Someone just can answer. How has your prayer life changed since 2020, 2021, 2022? Someone give me some examples. More decreeing of the word over the situation. Anyone else? Mr. Lee? Okay. More concentration on the nation. Praying for the nations. Someone else?
Bathing yourself in the word, this thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything. And your trust level will build. Nothing can separate you from the love. All these affirmations that we learn by bathing ourselves in the word, and you stand and you see what's going on and you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not afraid. And you can, you know, I mean, come on now, lay your life down.
Mm-hmm.
We do that for the body all the time. But I mean, literally lay your life down. And it's not because you're up
okay.
I know I don't have a lot of distractions. My whole, it's just me and Jesus. And I thought
okay.
It was corny for a long time. Really, you and Jesus, that's all? But I get it.
Well, my question is, how has your prayer life changed? How, over the last 2 to 3 years, how has your prayer life changed?
I can't do a mechanical list.
Mm-hmm.
That, it just becomes mechanical to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's all on run. So basically, do you find yourself just praying spot on now?
Spot on, and I'm so thankful to him all the time for everything.
All right.
I don't know what it is, bad, good, indifferent, ugly, everything.
All right. Anyone else? Mary, I thought I saw, did I see your hand up?
Then, oftentimes, instead of praying for a specific thing, we ask for divine appointments, that something would happen that we could tell, that he's just like cluing us in what he's already at work at doing all over us, which is just to, we're just asking him to
Mm-hmm.
So much, like you said, more freeing. There's so many times I'm just looking, okay, a tire went flat in the middle of the highway. Well, Lord, is this a divine appointment?
So you're basically, you're asking, and you correct me if I'm wrong, to be led more by the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. Okay. Anyone else? Any comments? Okay. And so that's the thing. And another thing I wanted to point out, because this is more like the introduction, is the word kavana. I was in prayer, I guess about a year ago, and I was trying to come up with a business name. And I wanted it to have meaning and purpose. And I had never heard this word before a day in my life. And I heard the Holy Spirit say kavana. First of all, I've never studied Hebrew, Greek, or anything else. I'm still learning English, if that makes sense. Because it changes every day. But the thing of it is, I heard the word kavana. And it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got up. And I keep in mind, I was in prayer during that time. And kavana is spelled K-A-V-A-N-A-H. And let me give you the definition of kavana. K-A-V-A-N-A-H. And it's a Jewish word. And it says kavana is a Hebrew word for direction, intention, or purpose. Catch this. Direction, intention, or purpose. And it simply means, it refers to concentrating the mind in the performance of a religious act, ensuring that it doesn't devolve into rote mechanical action. The Jewish people use this term to pray. Sometimes we can get so accustomed to praying that we pray the same prayer over and over and over. So we go in there and our mind will wonder, well, do I need to pray about this? Or can I pray about this? But we go into the prayer closet with intentions. The closet, the distributor, the dispenser, we go in that closet with intentions in pulling out what we need. So they're intentional. They don't waste any time. They don't go recite these prayers. And sometimes you can pull prayers offline and you can recite those prayers. But when they go in there with the intention of getting what they need, the Holy Spirit lead them and direct them in what they should pray for. I love the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. He said all truth, not part of it. Truth in every aspect of our lives. But in order to get that truth, we have to know the word. And we need to go in our closets and close the door. Go in our closet and close the door. That's it. Without any preconceived ideas, any concepts, or, well, God, I have to do this. I was tired by the time I got to prayer. I was literally exhausted because trying to say, I need to pray about this, and I need to pray about that, and I need to pray about this. And I was just overwhelmed. And then, like Lee said, you're praying for the nations. You're seeing the stuff pop off in the nation. Well, Lord, how do I pray about this? Or you have things happening in your family. But what I love about God, he knows the urgency of everything. And he is spot on. So why should I wear myself out before I get to prayer? I mean, exhausted. You're so tired when you get in there, you're like, okay, whew, what I need to pray about? Your mind is going 100 miles a minute. But when we get in that closet and we say, Lord, lead us in prayer. Holy Spirit, the Lord said that you would lead, guide, direct us. So I ask that you lead, guide, and direct me in prayer. Show me what to pray for. Who to pray for. Yes.
It's like you're meeting with
Yes.
You got his undivided attention.
It's refreshing. But and that's basically what it is. He's saving you. He's saving us time. We all complain about time management. This is a time management in prayer.
Yes.
It's not cut short. We basically saying, okay, Lord, I'm here. I come here to worship you. I go into worship. And as we go throughout, we're going to talk about what takes place in that closet. Because sometime when I go in the closet to pray, the Holy Spirit said, get your flags and worship me. I'm like, huh? Get your flags and worship me. We're going to do some warfare tonight. Yeah. Yeah. See, sometimes going into that closet don't mean you're just going to get on your knees and pray. Sometimes it means you're going to go in and he's going to say, your assignment is to worship me. We're going to go into worship and we're going to confuse the enemy. So, yeah. So he said, I'm changing and I'm shifting. And I need my body to change and shift with me. And I need you guys to come into the closet and follow my instructions. So as we go into this, it's three things that we're going to mainly talk about. But all this is going to, entail... And I give you some of the points. The first thing next week we'll talk about. Sorry. When we go into the closet and we hear God's voice. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that takes place when we go into the closet. We hear his voice. If I don't hear his voice, I won't know whether he wants me to pray, worship, I just sit there in silence. Because remember, the word of God says, he teaches our hands. We don't teach him. We don't lead him. He teaches our hands to war. So the first thing we must do when we enter that closet is hear his voice. Hear his voice. The second thing we'll talk about is we are filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. That's the third thing. The second thing. And the third thing, I love this. This will be the last week. We will do great exploits in his name. We will. That's a promise from him. But we first must line up in the closet. We must line up in the closet. So the assignment for everyone... If you look at your handout, next week our assignments, the first one is to write down your experiences during prayer. Oh, I meant to put what do you hear, so please overlook that. I mean, what do you hear? What takes place? Or you do? Oh, that sounds horrible. Sorry, guys. What do you hear when you're in the closet? What takes place in the closet? And what are some of the things that you do in the closet? Please overlook that grammar, that error. And then the second thing is bring your favorite book on prayer and take an inventory of how many books you have on prayer. How many of you guys have over 5 books on prayer? How many have 10? How many have 20? All right. It's time for the rubber to hit the road. In prayer. One thing that made me fall in love with Father's Vineyard is how many intercessory teams we have here. How many individuals we have that's constantly in prayer. And you can pick up the telephone and call one of them, and they'll drop a prayer on you at the drop of a dime. You're like, well, I just called for prayer, and they just go straight into prayer. Naomi is one of them. They go straight into prayer. Prayer is a weapon that the Lord has blessed us with. And he left an example for us. Let's look at what our prayer life, let's take inventory of what our prayer life looked like. It's not that we're doing it, that we're wrong, but he's wanting to enhance it. And he's wanting to make it simpler for us so we won't be tired when we get there and we won't be tired when we leave. Because I have a confession. I had been in warfare for so long, in prayer for 3, 4, 5 years, I didn't know how to go into prayer without going into warfare. And I'm being straight up. And as I would go into prayer, my mind was set in that mode. No matter how much I tried to pray differently, my mind was set in warfare mode. But he was like, no, I don't need you in that mode. I need you over here. And so, yes, there are times that we have to go into warfare. And because I was in so much warfare, I was warfare prayer, I was causing unnecessary warfare on myself. I'm like, what's wrong? I'm praying and this is going on and this, all this stuff is taking place. But I was creating my own warfare. I was creating my own frustration. And so, September, October of last year, the Holy Spirit finally arrested my attention and said, either you're going to have to do it my way or you're going to struggle. So I'm just here to encourage this morning that we take time to hear the voice of God and ask him how he desired for us to start our day in prayer. Like when I woke up that morning at 3 o'clock and he instructed me to read Psalm 72, that was my warfare for that day. I didn't have to go and bind and rebuke and all this other stuff and tired and woe out and looking crazy. Well, let's keep it real. What did he say about his word? His word will not return unto him void. It would do exactly what he sent it forth to do. So why am I using Sonya Nicole Twitty's word? Only thing I need to do is use God's word. Situation, hear ye the word of the Lord, and this is what the Lord is saying in regards to you. So you must submit to the word of God. He said it will not return void. And it will do exactly what he said it would do. So when we go down on our knees and we declare that word to that situation and we get up and we thank him and we go on. And when the situation want to rise back up, just tell it, no, remember, this is what the word of the Lord says in regards to you. So you have to flee. You must submit to the word of God. Any comments? That's right. We're a kingdom. We're a kingdom. So we have that authority. Remember, he said, he told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within. That means it's within us. We are kingdom. So we have that authority, but I love what the fact that he says the same resurrected power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is the same resurrected power that resides within us. Woo! Come on now. We have power. You, Mr. Billy, have power. You take that power and you use it, but you use it with the word and you speak to it. And when it knock on your door, you speak to it again. And it keep knocking and you speak to it again. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. Power. We've been working so hard and so diligently trying to bring in correction and trying to change things. And the only thing we have to do is use the word of God. Go in the closet. He said, enter the closet and shut the door. from all the distractions. Set your timer. Do whatever you have to do and say, okay, here, okay, God, let's do this. I'm here. You'll be amazed. He will blow your mind. And I had so much peace. I mean, I literally had peace. And you know, when you in a situation so long and you like, oh, I don't have to deal with that. I have peace. You just have peace. Because you're no longer praying your prayers. We're no longer taking control of the situation ourselves. We are truly relying on God and his word. We are people of his word. And so when I go and use his word, I'm saying, God, I don't have to do this. I'm going to talk to you about it. And this is what your word is saying. And I'm going to drop it there. Drop it there. Drop it there with the word. Give the enemy a 1-2 punch with the word. Into his closet. For the next 3 weeks, I look forward to fellowshipping with you guys and bring all your comments, whatever the Holy Spirit is showing you in regards to prayer, because this is a journey that we must take together. Are there any comments or questions? Any prayer requests? Well,
mm-hmm. Where King David's crying out because his own kids trying to kill him and that kind of stuff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't have books on prayer. I can't do that. That to me, it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a hippie.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
We just took the wrong stuff to get there. But I mean,
I'm sorry. I know what you're saying.
I've always been able to keep it raw, keep it real, keep it straight, and not pile up all this stuff. Although I am a books person, I got a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been able to keep it real. Mm-hmm. Bible things.
Yeah. And I can respect that. Mm-hmm.
So I really don't have that much to say, even though I do talk, because like it's just me and the Lord. And it's like, I don't know, this is all I've ever wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I remember what that was like too. This thing, I've gone through two of them. They're tore up, they're duct taped, and it's a conglomerate of scriptures for more than that. It's been in my bathroom, on the run. I'm just saying, my life
yeah.
is so different. So if
yeah.
I'm quiet through the rest of this thing, it's
you're cool.
Like,
you're cool. You're cool.
Yeah, does it make sense?
Yeah. And we understand the form of Kia. We Rutherford County dealing with it now. Yeah, in Polk County. But yeah, but you know, it's amazing. Like she said, a lot of people, everyone is in, and this is just the disclaimer, everyone is at a different point and season in their lives. Everyone. There's no one format. There's no one formula. The only formula the Lord is showing me is go in the closet. Go in the closet and close the door. So he can have conversations with us in regards to what we're dealing with and how to handle it and walk away victorious. Because remember, the third point of this lesson is we will do great exploits in his name. So that's the key. We will do great exploits in his name, but to get to those exploits, we must go in the closet and shut the door. If there be nothing else, Lord, I ask you to bless everyone that heard this word. Father, I pray that during this week that you will prick their hearts, prick our hearts, that we'll draw closer to you and we'll take time out and to go in the closet and close the door. Father, that there'll be no distractions and that we will open our hearts up to you and be able to receive what the Spirit is saying unto us as we prepare, Father God, to move forward, to do great exploits, to walk in fellowship with you. And most importantly, we lean not to our own understanding. And that we'll acknowledge you in all our ways. Father, there's many questions that the individuals here have on their hearts. So, Father God, I pray during this week that those questions will be answered in the closet. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.